I want to start by telling you guys a little joke today. Is that okay? I heard about this couple, and they had a 60th birthday on the same day. They were celebrating 60th birthday. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appears to them and says, "Hey guys, God is going to grant you one request, anything you want." So wife was thinking about it. They were stoked. They were excited. And she was like, "You know what? Tell God I want to travel all over the world. I want to travel the world." An angel went like, poof. And when she looked at her hand, there was traveling tickets. She's like, "Yeah." The husband, on the other hand, he hung his head in shame and said, "My request is, sheepishly, that I'd be married to a woman 30 years younger than me." And poof, when the smoke cleared, the man was 90 years old. I thought that was good. Come on. It's okay to laugh in church. So today, we're talking about science of happiness, how to be truly happy. And I believe today's message will definitely practically impact your life for the rest of your life. I think this message will give you an easy key to happiness that you can do that doesn't take any effort, just a thought, okay? So I'm not going to ask you to exercise 2 hours a day to be happy. I'm not going to ask you to, go all over the world to be happy. I'm not going to ask you to give tons of money to be happy. I'm just going to give you a clue. Because we're at New Life Church, it's not about what we can get from you. We want to give you something. And mainly we want to give you the Word of God. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's what we're all going for. We all have bondages in our life somewhere. But God promises to set us free in every area of our life. And that's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Amen. So let's open our Bibles. I will not give you a topic of my message today because I will give it away. So I'll have to read some scriptures first, verses in the Bible, and then I'll give you the topic. All right? And it's one simple word that will make you happy for the rest of your life if that word can become you. One word. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says this: "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Some people read that scripture and they protest inside of their heart right away, inside of their mind. They say, "How can you tell me to be thankful in all circumstances? Don't you know what my family has been through? Don't you know what my sister, my brother, my cousin, my grandma is going through? Maybe you have a family member who is struggling with cancer. Maybe you have a person who's been in an accident. Maybe you lost your job, or maybe your marriage is not going, or relationship is not going good. Maybe you have struggles with your children today. Maybe financially you're struggling, and you're like, 'Pastor, how dare you tell me to be thankful in all circumstances?' Well, the truth is, God is telling you, not me. And God says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And some of us want to protest again. What does God know? Because our God is small. Because our God obeys our lusts. Because our God is the God we created for ourselves, and it's not a real God. Really, it's an idol. Did you know that a lot of people serve a God who is not God? How do I know that? Because they don't When you show them what God of the Bible is, they're like, no, that's not who God is. God is like this. God is fluffy, like a little bunny, Easter bunny, and you can pat him, and he has a soft little tail behind his butt, you know? That's not who God is, right? God is love, but God is also consuming fire, and there are so many assets of God. There are so many angles to God, and God is huge, and it's like an ant trying to understand God and telling God, "Listen, you don't understand, but I know better." You know what I mean? So if you have a God that doesn't match the God of the Bible, you don't know a God. You created a God. And in our culture, we love to create a God. So we don't like something about God, we change it. You know? And God says, cursed is he who adds something to the Word of God or subtracts something from the Word of God. So it's kind of illegal to take something out of the Bible and then to add something into the Bible. It says that in it. You can't add, you can't change. And so if you want to know who God truly is, don't think with your own mind, okay, I think God is this. It's like, it's not like you choose who God is. He created you. He was there before you. So you discover him, you don't create him. Amen. I don't know why I didn't talk about this in the first service, but I already accepted it. Every service, Holy Spirit leads differently. That means somebody needs to know this. Don't create your own God. Find out who God is. So in here it says, be thankful in all circumstances. I want to also read one more Bible verse, and that's Psalm chapter 100, verse 4. It says this, and here's the clue. There's a rule here. God says, this is how you to come to my house, to church. Enter his gates. Gates were, we don't have gates anymore. We have the doors. There's usher there. He tries to smile. Amen. Our ushers are amazing. But enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts. Courts would be like more in here, sanctuary, with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And again, my soul protests and says, why? Why? See, the thing about God is a king. And when kings say something, they don't like to explain themselves. They kind of give it up to you, considering you're an intellectual person, you're a smart person, wise person, that you will understand. And so 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote, he says, be thankful in all circumstances. 3,000 years ago, David says, when you come to the house of God, don't you dare come depressed. You change your attitude. You change your mindset. When you come to the courthouse of God, you got to come with thanksgiving. Why? Well, for many years, we didn't know why. We just trusted God. But now science actually confirms that thanksgiving or gratitude, a heart of gratitude, and this is the topic of my message. Happy people are thankful people. Science, and there is so many, in the last 4 to 5 weeks, I've been studying scientific, proof of how do you become happy. And one of the greatest keys to happiness, the daddy, the granddaddy of them all, is gratitude. The word gratitude comes from a Greek word named gratia, which means grace, gratitude. So God says, I know I don't have time to explain to you every little detail, so he commands it. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. You want to know God's will for your life? He wants you to be thankful. Now you think, God, but why? Why do you care if I'm thankful or not? And really, if I was God, I wouldn't care unless I knew that thankfulness releases something in you. Unless thankfulness was a key that opens up something bigger in your life. Unless I knew that if my child is a thankful child, he's sitting right here, then he will be truly happy. If my child is never thankful, then he will always be sad and depressed. Let me just say this. It's your attitude of gratitude that can be most important and life-changing. Somebody said this. It is impossible to feel grateful and depressed at the same time. Guys, how many times in our life have we missed out on happy days? How many times in our life we've been depressed because we didn't obey the key that God gives us in Thessalonians 5:18? Be thankful in all circumstances. Thankfulness is a key to happiness, and I'll show you that science proves that. And I love when science and the Bible come together. I love science, right? I love all discovering. And science, finally, it's been written 3,000 and 2,000 years ago, but science finally confirmed. Here's what I learned. Guys, this is what I learned. I learned that psychologists, for the last 100 years, tried to help people who were down and sad and depressed. And when you come to them, and the way they would help people, they would start digging in your crap. Sorry for the word. They would start digging in your past. And this is the thought behind it. Sigmund Freud and others, this was the thought behind it. If we dig deep enough, we'll eventually get to the root of the problem, and then we'll yank it out. And they did it, but it didn't really work. Because they really didn't have scientific studies and proof to show that it works. But lately, psychology has been maturing. And what they've discovered is that the more that you dig in crap, the dirtier you become. The more you dig in negativity, the worse you become. So if you go to psychology to help your marriage, and all you do is attack your spouse and how they're bad, guess what? Negativity breeds negativity and breeds negativity, and you are worse off than, and I've heard so many people tell us, you know, Pastor, we've been counseling, it doesn't work. It works for some people, there's exception, but what psychology discovered, instead of digging in people's past, we got to discover the key. We got to discover the key that will release happiness in marriages. And guess what they discovered? That one key is such simple, but so profound. And that's gratitude. It's having the heart of gratitude. Huh? Guys, I got to confess to you something bad about myself. But for many years, when I got married to my wife, I didn't have gratitude. And I loved my wife. Listen to me. I love my wife. But she's right here. She's a beautiful woman. And I mean, I couldn't imagine anything else, you know. But for many years, there was one thing I didn't like about her, and it was driving me crazy. One thing. And so, listen to me. In our lives, we have people in our life who have 95%, 99% good in their life. But guess what we choose to focus on? When our attitude is an attitude of pickiness, if our attitude is an attitude of negativity, we see that 1%. And that person always drives me crazy who comes to me after church, that one person, 100 people, 250 people come tell me, Pastor, service is good. But that one person, but this one thing, Pastor. It's like, are you serious? And they say it in such negative way. Like you're going to hell if you didn't read the verse right or something, you know? And it's like, but the heart of gratitude. And so I suffered personally in being unhappy in my marriage for many years because I couldn't be grateful to God for my wife. How many of you, wives, because you're not grateful, you got a good man, but he's not perfect, and all you focus on is imperfection. And when you focus on the 5% what's wrong and not 95% that's good, guess what? You make them miserable, you make everybody else around you miserable, and you make yourself miserable. Guys, God knows best. And maybe you don't understand. Maybe it's like an ant trying to understand the Big Bang or something. I don't know. But God knows best. He created this world. And He says, be thankful in all circumstances. As a believer, you know what the will of God for you is? To be thankful. And not just with words. See, I grew up in church. How many of you grew up in church? What is the first thing we were taught? Oh, thank you, Father, for this food. Thank you, God, for this. You know, we were taught to say grace, right? And so we would say it, and these words became so meaningless to us that when we said thank you, they don't mean anything. And did you know when words don't mean anything, they don't produce anything. If the words don't mean anything to you, they don't produce anything in you. There was a study done on kids about gratitude, and they taught kids to say thank you. But kids didn't mean it. They were just taught to say thank you. And they tested their happiness level. And guess what? In kids, it didn't produce happiness level. But when they did it in adults, and they asked adults, and I'm going to show you that study here soon, their happiness level went through the roof. It's important to feel grateful, because when you're grateful, you can't be depressed at the same time. And guys, a lot of our people today run and get medicine for feeling down. And I wonder if maybe in many cases, not in all, there's some cases that are legitimate, but in many cases, all we need to do is just this one key, one word. This one word has to become flesh. Gratitude, thankfulness. Being thankful for your job, for your spouse, for your car, for your health, for breathing. Thank you. If we only had that, our life would be so much happier. In the Bible, there was a guy named King Solomon. Supposedly, he was the wisest man on earth, but I don't know, because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, so I don't know about that. But he was the richest, he was the wisest, and he, whatever. But he was a man who loved to observe and study wisdom. He lived about 3,000 years ago. He was the son of King David. David was the one who slayed Goliath, okay? Just a little history. And so, King Solomon says, I observed two different people in life. And I want to show you two different people. Because I want you to see where you're at and where you want to be. They're totally different people with the same circumstances. First one, Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says this. Solomon writes, "There is another serious tragedy I have seen under the sun, and it weighed heavily on humanity." So it's heavy for humanity. Okay, ever had a heavy heart? It's heavy. "God gives some people great wealth and honor, wealth and honor, and everything they could ever want. But then he does not give them the chance to enjoy these things. They die and someone else, even the stranger, ends up enjoying their wealth. This is meaningless, a sickening tragedy." This is a tragedy. I've been there. Having everything you want. Guys, about a year ago, and this is profound because this changed my life. This is how we even got to study about science of happiness. About a year ago, my life is pretty blessed. I could just tell you that. You know this. I'm not bragging. It's not perfect, but it's blessed. Financially, it's blessed. It's blessed relationally. It's blessed in my family. It's blessed. And I was the most miserable person. For many years, I was miserable. I was this guy. Tragedy. I became a workaholic. Why? I could work 2 full-time jobs and drive myself. I'm just a driven person, and so I would drive myself to the point where I crash, I explode, right? And my wife would know this. Sometimes in the middle of summer, I would just explode. It'd be every year, once a year. And usually she'd be like, "We need a vacation." Like, "Yeah, we need a vacation." Then it takes like 3 or 4 days to just like unwind, you know? Because I became a workaholic, and I had financial blessing. I had the vehicles that I wanted. My family is blessed. Everybody's healthy. And I was miserable. And one day, usually God speaks to me when I'm brushing my teeth or in a shower. And he reminded me of this verse. You know, you read the Bible, you don't remember these verses, but you don't know that they are, if you really like read them right, they will get placed in your heart. Okay? Did you know all your memories, all your thoughts, all that you read is recorded? Sometimes our brain is limited, cannot recall things, but it's all there. Okay? That's why sometimes you forget about what happened to you in childhood, and then you can recall it one day. Just emotion comes up and you remember everything. And you're like, "How can I forget that?" But then it comes back. Bible says there's a book that's written on every day. So like this, you know how in the NFL they write every stat of every player? Well, same thing. Where do you think they got it? That's God. God writes everything you do. Everything. The book of life is written. Everything. And so as I was not even thinking about this verse, I heard in my spirit the verse being read back to me. My thoughts. The verse was read. There's this serious evil. God gives men riches and honor. That's what I had. But I couldn't enjoy it. Miserable, depressed. And you know what? I can fake it well. I can come to church and I can smile really good, just like most of you can. Right? And besides, that's the right thing to do, actually. You got to come to church smiling. Nobody wants your depressed face, you know? Everybody, and even God says, don't come to my court, you know, depressed. Come with thanksgiving and joy and praise. But I would hide it pretty well. And I was miserable, guys. And you don't know how many times I wanted to quit ministry. And you ask my wife how many times I wanted to pack everything in my little pickup and just get away from it all, live on a beach somewhere. That would be crazy. Leave everything. I know my kids are hearing this, but you know, sometimes you don't have the key to happiness, and you have happiness, but you can't unlock it. Everything in your life is set. Everything. And yet you're not happy. Have you ever been there? Or is this your pastor putting his heart on a sleeve type thing? Right? And so I started crying out to God, "God, what is it?" And he said to me, and these verses are together. He showed me this man, there's serious tragedy. It's a tragedy to live your life and yet not live it. It's tragedy to be alive and not enjoy your life because you missed the key to happiness. Because you think happiness is the next thing. And when you get to the next thing, happiness is a moving target. So the next thing is always moving. So as soon as you get to the thing, it becomes the next thing. And as soon as you come to the next thing, it becomes the next thing. And we already established that happiness is not in a thing. Thank you. And so God started revealing to me of how I think of my life. And he said, "You got to start giving thanks for your life. You got to start thinking positively of everything." And you know what I was always taught? I grew up in a religious family. You know what they would teach me? As soon as something good would happen in your life, they would say, "But tomorrow could be bad. Or they would say, nothing will ever last. And that's true, but they would say it in a negative way, you know? And so I would always be like, okay, yeah, I got $1,000 saved, but what about tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? I can lose my job. You know, you always live in this tragedy. It's tragedy to live your life and yet don't live it to the fullest. And Jesus Christ came and says, I have come to give you life to the fullest. And I'm like, I'm a Christian. I have a relationship with God. I'm a preacher. And I'm not happy. I'm so boring behind the scenes. Right, Lavar? You know this about me. We work together, right? It's like, cheer up and live, you know? No. Tomorrow could be bad, man. Tomorrow could be really bad. You know, and so you can't enjoy life. And God began to deal with me and says, do you want to be that person? Because this is where you're going to end up. A man, God gives him, let's put verse 2. Let's put verse 2. Thank you. God gives some people great wealth and honor and everything they could want, but he doesn't give them a chance to enjoy these things. And my question was, why not? What's the key? That this man, he had money and he had honor. What was it that didn't let him enjoy life? You have money and you have honor. We were in Mexico and we had this driver who would take us from our room because it's like a complex, you know, you had to little golf carts and they give you rides, you know. And so we were talking to him and he said he makes only about 30 some dollars a month. And I'm like, man, and we in America complain that, you know, 25,000 is poverty, you know, a year is poverty. And I'm like, wow, these people make so little, and yet he was so happy. His name was Alfredo. Tanya called him Alfredo Sauce, just to remember him. And he was just so happy. $30 a month, people. That's how much they made. Happy. And so God says, do you want to become that person? It would be tragedy. Listen, it would be tragedy for you to live this life and yet never enjoy it. And never understand happiness. I'm going to show you another man that Solomon observed. And it's Ecclesiastes chapter 5. So it's just right two verses before this one. 5:18. Even so, I have noticed one thing, at least that is good. So he says, this one is good thing. It is good for people to eat, to drink, and to enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them. And to accept their lot in life, okay? Accept means to like yourself. Accept yourself in life. Preached about it in week 3 of this series. You like yourself, okay? It is good for you to accept yourself the way you are. If you're fat, you're fat. If you're skinny, you're skinny. If you're tall, you're tall. If you're short, you're short. Just accept it. You can't change it, okay? So just accept it, all right? Next verse, 19. And it is good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and accept your lot. Again, to accept yourself in life. That is a gift from God. And this is my favorite verse, and I believe it's going to be yours. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past. So there's two guys. Yeah, come on. There's two guys in the Bible. There's two ladies in the Bible. It could be guy or lady. And it's us today. It's number one, God gives them everything, cannot enjoy it, dies miserable, depressed life. Second person, God gives them everything, and yet he enjoys it. He eats, drinks, he accepts himself, and he lives. This is so good. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood, to dig in their past, to dig in their crap over their past. That's a gift of God. So today a question God has for you. Which one are you and which one you want to be? Maybe you are already guy number two, but I was not guy number two. And I'm on my way right now to guy number two. I want to be the guy who lives such a busy life, a joyful life, that I have no time to worry about the past. And you know what? I have the past too. I've messed up in my past. I've made some mistakes. My parents made some mistakes. And I could be brewing over the past. I could be thinking and digging in the past. You know, what else is wrong? Why am I so, you know, or I can have a heart, a different attitude. So I ask God, This is the question I have asked God. Why is one man both receive gifts from God, riches and honor, first, riches and honor, second one? Why don't one enjoy it and the second one does enjoy it? And God says it's one word. You want to know that word? The key to unlock happiness in your life. And this works for believers and unbelievers. So if you don't know where you stand with God yet, it works for you too. Although for believers, it's way better. But for unbelievers, and it works for everybody. And this is the key. And science already proved it. It's the word gratitude. It's the word gratitude. And some of you are like, yeah, right. Because you heard the word gratitude. But what I'm going to tell you today in the next 9 minutes is going to change your life. It's the word gratitude that will help you enjoy life. Gratitude, listen to this, is it's like a tool that unlocks. It's like a key that unlocks something bigger in your life. Let me just read to you a phrase that God gave me about gratitude. And you got to write this down and post that on Facebook. Because this is big. And you got to think about this one. It's so simple, yet it's so profound. Gratitude helps a person recognize and enjoy what you have in life. When you can recognize and enjoy what you have, you can walk in happiness. Hold on a second. Let's just talk about it. The first guy had it all, but why couldn't he enjoy it? Guess. Give me a wild guess. He couldn't recognize what he had. Somebody asked, I think it's the Warren guy. What's that? Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, how much money is enough? I think that's him who said, just a little more. He's a billionaire. How much money is enough? Just a little bit more. See, money is a moving target. Before you said, if only I could make $25,000 a year, I'd be happy. You make it now, you moved the target, didn't you? You said, if only I made $35,000, I'll be happy. And when you got there, you said, you moved the target again. It's a moving target. It keeps moving. You'll never reach it. Happiness is not someday. It's now. And the key to happiness is gratitude, because gratitude unlocks your ability and allows you to recognize. You could be married to the most beautiful girl in the world, but you're looking for a prostitute to sleep with who's ugly and who's got, who knows what she's got, because you're not grateful for what you have. Can I speak the plain language? You could have the best family and you're looking somewhere on the side. My husband is not so romantic. My goodness, yeah, maybe he's not so romantic, but guess what? He works hard. You want a romantic one or you want a hardworking one? Because sometimes you can't get both. Because you can get a loser sometimes who's so romantic and everything, but he can't keep a job. So what do you want? I'm not the most romantic guy, and I admit it. And my wife would say it, and she'll say aloud amen to that one. But I made a decision. I said, okay, I'm going to put on my phone calendar to remind me once a month to buy my wife flowers. And when that once a month comes, I'm like, oh, I should do that. And then 3 days goes by, and I come home, and I see flowers on the table. I'm like, where'd you get those? She said, you got them for me. I'm like, how much did it cost? And you know what? What I realized, I should buy my wife flowers, because if I don't, she doesn't go to Lewis or to buy flowers. Sam, you know what I'm talking about. She goes to that expensive store on Bonson and 10th Street, and like they rip you off there, and she buys these, and I can see the difference. You know, you can see the difference. Sometimes we guys say roses are roses, but then when we see her buy her own roses with your money, with our money, but you're like, oh, I better buy the flowers because it cost me an arm and a leg. I'm like, how much did it cost? Don't worry about it, honey. You bought it. Amen. So what do you want? What do you want? And so happiness comes in this key, in gratitude. It's not just the words you say. Because you can say thank you religiously and don't mean anything, right? Have you ever had somebody say thank you? Oh, thank you so much. That don't mean anything. But when somebody says from the bottom of my heart, I so appreciate you, I thank you, you feel it. Gratitude can change the world because it can change you. When you are grateful to somebody, you impact their lives. But in return, You were designed like this by God. When you are grateful, when you have a heart of gratitude, you can, listen to this, recognize the gifts of God in your life that already exist. A person who doesn't have a heart of gratitude cannot recognize what he has. And sometimes we don't know till it's what we had till it's gone. Oh, my mom, she was such a great person. And when she was alive, you never visited her. So you liar. My grandma was so, but when she was alive, you never called her. You never sent her a card. You never wrote thank you to her. You liar. And now you're weeping and you're like, I wish I could take the time back. And now you're depressed because of what you didn't do. And God says, that's not a gift from God. That's tragedy. Want to know how to unlock happiness daily in your life? The word gratitude must become a word that becomes a part of you. The word that's you. You are a grateful person. And when you don't mean it, the study was done, they taught kids to say thank you, and then they tested their happiness level, and it didn't change. You know why? Because kids are taught that but don't mean it. When you don't mean it, it doesn't do anything for you, it doesn't do anything for another person, and it definitely doesn't do anything for God. But when it comes from your heart, when you choose to have a new attitude, and this is what I'm preaching today, and this is what God, I believe, wants us to understand. God wants us to walk out of here with a new attitude. Attitude of gratitude. That's it. That's what God wants to do today. If you don't understand or don't remember anything, this is what God wants to do. Change your attitude. Attitude is everything. Determines your success. Taught us in sales classes. Amen. Somebody said this. Gratitude is not only, actually Cicero said this, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all the other. Gratitude. Guys, why are we so unhappy? Why was I so unhappy? Making a lot of money, having a good family, having a great life, because I didn't have gratitude. My wife was always like, man, I wish you could, every time I would look at her, and this is embarrassing, I know this, and I'm changing. I'm not there yet, but I would look, and I didn't like something about her, and I'd be like, eh. You know, and she would see my face, and she would get mad, and you know, it would bring tension in our marriage. Attitude of gratitude. You know that scientists can predict success of your marriage up to 90% accuracy. How? By talking to you and what your gratitude level towards your spouse is. Your gratitude level towards your spouse will determine how long you're going to be married. They can predict it to 90% accuracy. So guys, if you married a skinny woman, you married a skinny woman. You're grateful to God. If you married a chunky, if you like him chunky, I like him big. I'm like him chunky. That's who you are. And sometimes through marriage, oh, come on, I'm speaking the truth here. Sometimes you marry a skinny one, but she has kids. She gains a little bit of weight, and then you get a nice, warm, and healthy. And then sometimes she loses weight. Sometimes she gains. And so are you. I'm not 30 like I used to be in my waist. I'm not going to tell you what I am now. We were shopping for pants, and my wife says, this is your size. And I'm like, whoa, that's big. So we change. But heart of gratitude will help you recognize and enjoy. Thanksgiving heart activates joy. And it's proven scientifically, activates joy in your life. Oh, thank you, God. A few years ago, I joined this pastor's coaching network so I can become a better pastor, right? And so I joined this coaching network, and they started sending me all kinds of files. They were graphic design files, you know, they were text files, PDF files, all kinds of files. And I didn't even know video files they would send me. You know, all the information they had, like educational stuff. And I couldn't open that stuff. So I tried, I'm like, and it gives me errors. So I go to our media guys, and I'm like, hey, Jim, can you help me? And so Jim goes and researches, you know, how he likes to nerd. He likes to research that stuff, you know. And he comes back and he's like, oh, I had to download some decoder. Some decoder this, some decoder that. Oh, yeah. And he opens it up for me and I'm like, oh, it works. Awesome. Gratitude is a key. It's a decoder to your happiness. It helps you decode what you have so you can be happy today and for the future. Amen. Amen. You know, God says, I don't hear your prayers. You know why? Because all it is words. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, watch this. Jesus said this. These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from it. Meaning what they say and what they think is totally disconnected. And in church, we could be such good hypocrites, can we? We speak, oh, bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. But guess what? Our heart is like, man, you're such a jerk, or you're such a piece of bad word, you know? Right? And so God says, I can't receive that kind of praise. I can't receive that kind of prayer. It's empty words. And then Jesus says, remember when he taught us to pray? He says, don't pray like pagans do, because they think in many repetition, they will be heard. But he says, let your word be few when you pray, but let it be from your heart. It's got to come from your heart. And that's why you can't just take a prayer book and pray and say, well, you know, you can learn from other people's prayers so your prayer language could be more effective. But really, God is looking at your heart. And some of you, I don't know how to pray. God is not looking for a big, eloquent prayer like you hear on inaugurations of presidents, you know. It's all written down for them. It's not real. You know, God is looking from the heart. God says, be thankful in all circumstances. And it only works when it comes from your heart. Are you ready for some scientific studies? Three quick scientific studies and then four points how to be grateful. Quick. All right. Two psychologists have done this extensive research on gratitude. One is from University of California and another one is from University of Miami. They asked three groups of participants to write each week on a particular topic. First group, they asked them to write about what they're grateful for each day. The second group, they asked them to write what irritates them and the things that displease them every day. And the third group, they just said, write about whatever comes to your mind. They didn't give them particular, you know, instructions. After 10 weeks, listen to this. Those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic, way more optimistic. Two, they felt better about their lives. Three, and this is surprising, guys, they started exercising more. Have anybody heard this verse? The joy of the Lord is my strength. It really is true. Science proves that now. See, God sometimes gives us these things, but he doesn't explain themselves. But now science and Bible come together. So when you're depressed, you're not going to exercise more. You're not going to eat healthy. The fourth thing, they started eating healthy. More healthy than the other people. So when you're happy, you cherish your body. You cherish your life. You enjoy life better. When you're grateful, I mean. When you're negative, people who are negative, they were way bottom on the list. They visited the doctor more often than the people who wrote about gratitude. So people who are grateful are so much more happier and content, and they take care of their bodies better. Why? Because they have strength. Have you ever said, I want to go exercise, but then something came up, some negative, and you just like, I just don't have any strength. I'll just watch TV and get dumber, dumb and dumber. Amen. And so they started exercising more. They visited the doctor less. They ate better than those who focused on negative things. So here's the key. It's gratitude. Heart of gratitude. Today, you can practice that. You can come sit in your car, and maybe your kids are crazy. All right? And, well, not your kids. Somebody else's kids are worse. But still, maybe your kids are acting up. But you say, God, I'm thankful they're healthy. Yeah, they are growing. We're not in a hospital every day. You know, I'm thankful for my life. We can go out to eat at McDonald's today. You know, whatever it is, you start activating the heart of gratitude. The prism through which you see your life is what life becomes. Have you ever heard of medical student syndrome? First year medical students, when they go to medical school, they have this syndrome develop. They get to study about all the different diseases. And did you know that? Before you know it, they start thinking they have all of them. It's a real syndrome, guys. It's a real thing. So one day a guy thinks he has PMS because he studied about PMS. Women go through in a menopause? So one day he thinks he has menopause. The next day he thinks he has leprosy because what he's See, a mind is a powerful tool. You can direct it. Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart or his mind, so he is. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking how everything is bad and could get better? Or are you thinking that God is good? He's for me, not against me. God loves me. He cares for me. My future is better than my present. The best is yet to come. His angels are surrounding me and protecting me. How do you think will determine? How do you think about your spouse? How do you think your children will determine the level of happiness in your life? If you're thankful and say, God, I thank you. I could have been born in, I don't know, Syria right now. And I could have been a Christian in Syria, where your wife would have been raped. And if she was raped 10 times, she becomes a Muslim. And then beheaded. And then tortured. See, I'm glad we're born here. And God gives me responsibility. And you as a Christian, he gives responsibility to pray for people all over the world. Because it's not everybody doesn't have as good as we do. Everybody doesn't make, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a month. Like you do. Come on, somebody. Some people make $30 a month. How do you look at life? If you look at life as a gift of God, and if you look at life as already a miracle, this life, this world is created through vibration. Did you know that? Your cells, if you divide them long enough, you go to the atoms and go deeper, it will be vibrations. And the Bible says God created this world through the Word of God. Word of God. Yeah. So we're dust. If you divide us into little, to get to the bottom of us, we're just energy. God loved us. He created us. He has a plan for us. This world is miraculous. How is it holding together? How is Word of God, Bible says? It's all holding together by the Word of God. Now, some of you are like, I don't understand that. I'm science. I'm science too. I love science. But maybe science someday will understand what God did. Just like they did with gratitude. They understood that gratitude has power to make you happy. Second study they did, they tested 411 people and they asked them to write a letter and deliver it themselves to a person in their past who impacted their life. And people's happiness tests, you know, they do tests of your happiness level, went through the roof and lasted for up to 30 days. So, you know what? I decided I'm going to write a letter to a person who impacted my life, and I want to ask you to do it and come to life groups and talk about it. Yeah. Write a letter to somebody who impacted your life and deliver it and say, I'm so thankful for you. Don't wait till a person is dead to say, oh, I wish I could. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your brother, sister. Maybe it's your mentor, or maybe it's your boss who impacted you, or your teacher in school or in college. You know, somebody, a friend impacted your life. Doesn't have to be long. Write it. Key. And God knew it. See, God doesn't care if you're thankful or not. That's not going to make him happier or less happier. You know why God says be thankful in all circumstances? Because it does something in you. And God loves to see you smile. You know, heaven, there will be no tears, no sorrow, no pain, no disease, no depression. Happiness. That's heaven. Happiness. In your presence. Guys, what does it say? There is fullness of joy. The word joy is happiness. Heaven is not a depressing place, and God is not a depressing God. Heaven is full of happiness, and God is happy. You know, God is happy that you're here today. Why aren't you happy? And see, Satan wants to keep you low, because when you're on the depressed side, low side, he has power over you. When you're happy, walk in a room among your enemies and act happy. And guess what? Enemies go, hey. Right? But watch, walk depressed and they say, hey, so what's up, man? You know, they start, you know, you're strong when you're happy. You're stronger when you're grateful. And God knew that about you. He created you. You were created with this ability of thankfulness. And so he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be happy all the time. Then he says, be thankful in all circumstances. It is the will of God. What is God's will for my life? Thankfulness. Because thankfulness unlocks happiness. It's not happiness that will make you more thankful. It's thankfulness that will make you more happier. And you can practice that today. They did a study where the bosses did in college, they were doing fundraiser groups. They divide them in three, in two, I'm sorry. And to one group, the boss came and said, I'm so thankful for you twice a day through the work level. And to another group, he didn't say anything. The group that the boss came in and said thank you to and really meant it and really expressed gratitude, they made 50% more phone calls for fundraising than the group who didn't. So your employees, if you're a boss, if you're a manager, your employees will perform better if you're thankful. Science proves that. And God says, I already knew that. I created you that way. And so he says, listen, rejoice. He says, be thankful in all circumstances. And rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So the question today is, how can I be happy? Number one, quickly, ask God to give you the heart of gratitude. It has to come from the inside. You can't just, you know, just make it up. You have to come from the inside. Say, God, change my heart. Change my mind. Change so I could be a grateful person. To you first and then to others. Because it goes this way, then it goes this way. Cross, right? It goes, you know, vertical, then it goes horizontal. But Bible says when you pray, when you ask that, believe that you have received it. So now you got to say, okay, I got it. God already gave it to me. Okay, so God gave it to me. All right. So now what do I got to do? I got to practice it. I got to practice it. So today, I want you to start saying thank you a lot. I want you to start consciously making an effort. What am I thankful for every day? So this is the exercise. I'm not going to ask you to exercise physically for 2 hours a day to be happy. I'm not going to ask you to give money to be happy. Or I'm just going to ask you to consciously think, okay, what am I happy for today, every day? And I want you to do this. I want you to put it on Facebook. Make it your journal. And if I see it, I'm going to like it. All right? Or if you have a picture of something, like your dog, and you take a picture, or your spouse, or your kids, or a flower you see, and just say, I'm so thankful for this flower today. Watch. Guys, science proves it, that people who do this, their happiness level goes to another level. God already knew it 2,000, 3,000 years ago. God already knew it, wrote it a long time ago. But now our science proves it. So you have double proof. In the eyes of two witnesses, let the matter be established. From the mouth of two witnesses, let the matter be established. So now two things, Bible and science, prove that to be happy, you got to be grateful. So I want you to take pictures. I want you to write every day. If you don't have Facebook, get a notebook. If it's private, get a notebook and begin to write every day two, three things that you are thankful for. And watch your happiness level change, because your mind does what you tell it to do. And if you don't do anything, it will be negative. Your mind will be negative if you don't tell it what to do. If you don't tell it the promises of God, the Word of God, if you don't start telling your mind what to do, your mind will just run aloof by itself, guys. God cares for you. That's why you're here. You could have been watching football. It started already, I think. And I can't wait to watch mine is at 3 o'clock today. But anyway, so I can go longer. But God wanted you to be happy. He is for you, really. Satan is against you. God is for you. That's why He loved you so much. He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. 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 So, number one, ask God to give you a thankful heart. Number two, begin to thank God for this, that your name is written in the book of life. Jesus commanded it. He said, don't rejoice because you got blessed. Don't rejoice because demons are subject to you. Remember that verse? He says, rejoice. The word rejoice is be happy. Be happy because your name is written in the book of life. Guys, there's a big book in heaven. Maybe it's a computer. I don't know. But they, you know, they describe it how they know it. And everything you do is written. Just like in the NFL, anything that people in the NFL do, right? It's written down. All your stats are written down. Same with God. Everything is written. And Jesus says, don't rejoice because something good happened to you in life. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Because you're going to live forever. Just where? Nobody ever dies, people. Nobody ever dies. We just transition. We transition that way or that way. But nobody ever dies. Even Satan doesn't die. Satan will never die either. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, be thankful that your name is written in the book of life. Number three, count your blessing. What do you have? Gratitude will help you see what you have, right? So begin to practice gratitude from your heart and you'll start seeing what you have. And that will unlock your happiness. Number four, think about a person every day who you are thankful for and smile. I would like to do something. I would like to do a little exercise, if I could. I want you all to close your eyes right now. Close your eyes. And for a moment, I would like you to think about a person in your life that you're very grateful for. Don't think about the negative things. Think about the person in your life that you're so thankful for. Just go there. Allow your heart to be thankful for that person. And now smile. Smile. See, Andre taught us last week that you need to smile. It releases endorphins. Now look up. Look up. Look at people around you. Wow, I have a new church. People are smiling actually. I want you to do this every day. Say, God, transform my heart. Make me grateful for what I have. And every day, just think for a moment. Close your eyes and say, I'm thankful. And when something bad happens, say, what's good in my life? What am I good in my life I'm thankful for? See, you can tell your mind where to go. Naturally, it will go to negative. So you got to tell it to be positive. You got to tell it to think on good things, on the blessings of God in your life. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. Just find something you're thankful for and watch you walk in happiness like never before. This day, today, could transform the rest of your life if you just do this thing. Bible says be thankful. Science says be thankful. Why don't you be thankful? The only one doesn't want you to be thankful is Satan, because you're strong when you're happy. You're weak when you're depressed. Diseases attack your bodies when you're depressed. When you're happy, you're healthier. You visit the doctor less. You want to do more life. You want to be less boring. You want to love people. You want to praise God better. That's why you jump sometimes in worship, because you're so grateful. Can somebody clap your hands, please, for God who loves us and is teaching us through this series. He cares enough about us so we could be happy. And somebody asked me, why are you teaching on happiness? That doesn't sound spiritual. What am I supposed to teach about? Well, some people just want me to teach on sin. Sin, sin, sin. Well, if you read your Bible, you know, it's already talking to you about sin. And I talk enough, I think, about sin. But I think this series has impacted so many people. I hear so many testimonies of people coming and saying, it changed me. And I tell them, you don't know how much it changed me. It changed me more. I'm going to leave today. A year ago, I used to leave church and I was depressed because, like, there's never enough people. They never respond as good as you want them to. And your sermon never goes as good as you thought it was going to go. You know? So you leave and you're like, and the devil, man, he's such a liar. I used to tell my wife every Monday or Sunday night, I'm quitting. Tanya, am I telling the truth? I'm quitting. I'm done with this church thing. And you know what? I've changed. Because God changed my mind. I'm going to thank God today for what happened. Because lives were changed today. I'm going to thank God for all the people in first service and in second service who are here. I'm going to thank for all the lives that are going to be changed because of this day. And I'm not going to worry about the negatives. Yes, on Tuesday we'll meet and they'll tell me what I did wrong, going 23 minutes longer. And I'll get whooped a little bit. But I'll take that when that comes. But right now I'm going to be happy. And I'm not going to take any more of your time. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front where you are. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. It's a private matter. On a count of three, if you want to give your life to Jesus or recommit your life to Jesus, please raise your hand on a count of three. One, two, Three, please raise your hand. One hand, two hands, three hands, four hands, five hands. Yep, six hands. Thank you, God. Woo! Thank you, God. Now, this is what we're going to do. You made a decision to follow Christ. And listen, it's not always going to be easy. It doesn't mean that everything in your life is going to be perfect. Some of you might have to die for Christ. It happened in history. It's happening in Syria right now. So it's not a light decision. I just want to tell you that. Somebody reminded me of that yesterday. It's not a light decision. It's a serious decision. And if you really believed it, when you raised your hand, I want you to pray with me. Say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. You paid the penalty of my sin, so I don't have to pay for it anymore. From this day on, come into my heart and live there. Change me, transform me. Give me your purpose for my life. I want to live for you. From this day on, I decree and declare that I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. All of them. All of them. They've been crucified on a cross. They've been placed on Jesus. And Jesus' perfection has been placed on me from this moment on. I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and bless God.